really happy to have a guest in this morning. Liz Jarnagin. Liz joining us. First off, morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you here. Jerry Kill was bragging on you whenever I was hanging out with him on Wednesday, and he says you're the fastest hire at SIU history. I thought he was smiling. Fastest hire we've ever made.
I'm a competitor, so that's good to hear.
That's right. First across the finish line. Never thought about it that way.
It's been a while for me to be first.
All right. So, you know what's interesting here is I'm just curious about something, and I have been for a long time, but I come from a long list of mom's advice to me. It's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid as opposed to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You ever heard that one?
I have.
And that's how I feel about Title IX.
Okay.
Right? So what is the importance of Title IX in women's athletics and college athletics? What role, what importance does it play in today's athletic arena?
Well, Title IX ensures that it ensures gender equity and that there are equal opportunities for participation and scholarships and quality locker rooms and equipment for not just women but men. It's really gender equity.
Is it also about sports equity? Because I noticed a lot of your history. You a volleyball player?
Yes.
Is that your favorite?
You could say so, but I do have a long list of favorites.
Do you?
Yes. What?
Give me a couple other favorites.
I love basketball, right. Swimming and diving, track and field.
All right. Swimming and diving is the two ones we'll pick out, because doesn't it also play a role in equity in sports that, you know, don't have that level of prominence? Archery, tennis, golf. Is there a role that Title IX plays there too?
Well, absolutely, and it really would be the same role it plays for football, basketball, volleyball, for maybe the lesser-known sports or what we would call the Olympic sports.
Right.
But the importance, again, is just to ensure that there's equal treatment for athletes of any sport and that there's quality of experience for them.
You know, what's interesting is being able to watch this as a story arc. I used to coach women's basketball when I was considerably younger. And at that time, all right, I have to admit, this is the 70s, all right? And we were just teaching women how to play basketball. And now, I mean, you want to go see some softball, go to SIU and watch softball, world-class softball being played over here on
Absolutely.
The campus of SIU, right?
No doubt.
So we go from the 70s to the ability to play, all right? I hate to sound remedial. To then reaching the point where we see some level of equity. And what's interesting, not long ago, last summer, I'm visiting a friend in Marion who's staying at a hotel, and we go hit the pool. And it's recruitment weekend for a track and field at SIU, and I meet a mother sitting poolside while her daughter is over here. She's going, what about that Deanna Price? What do you know anything about her? We're thinking about coming here. What do you know about the field and track program? She's got a scholarship. Should we come here? And you start realizing, and then I meet another mother not long ago, says, my daughter had no chance. We could not have afforded her to go to college unless she'd gotten a golf scholarship. You hear these stories, and you didn't used to hear them. But that's that opportunity you just spoke of.
And absolutely, and I think that's why when you talk about Title IX and gender equity, people think that it's all about women's opportunities. But as a result of Title IX, women's opportunities have increased. Again, it's really about the equal opportunities. It's just that back in the 70s, I'm well familiar with that decade as well. Back in the 70s.
Well, you don't look like it.
So
just that being said, I figured I was the old person in the room.
Back in the 70s, though, there were very minimal opportunities. I was one of those little girls that watched the little boys in the neighborhood play t-ball and thought, wow, that would be fun. I wish I could do that. And my sister, who was 7 years younger than me, was able to play t-ball with the little boys by the time it was her turn.
Right,
so,
and we've seen that.
Yeah.
My niece, first female kicker for Marion High School football.
Oh, very neat.
Right. My niece, Taryn, right? So, and she's really proud. Soccer translated into football. So where does your story start? Briarcliff College, when it comes to administrator, you think?
Briarcliff was the first time that I had a taste of the administration side of things, but I was still coaching there at Briarcliff, and I had quite a few years of coaching under my belt by the time I got there. I actually started coaching at my alma mater, St. Olaf College in Minnesota.
Coaching
As volleyball.
Okay.
I was very young. I had just earned my master's degree from Fort Hays State in Kansas, and my former volleyball coach at St. Olaf had taken a new job at another institution.
And the door opened.
The athletic director there knew I was interested in administration. I'd done an administration internship with him. He called me. I snapped up the opportunity to be the interim coach. I found myself in a unique situation coaching former teammates of mine.
Right.
That's
always
where
fun.
I started.
That's difficult. There is nothing worse than becoming the boss, and putting the little quotation marks around it, the boss of your friends and co-players. That is a very difficult transition that goes underappreciated. It's just better to leave.
Yeah, well, it certainly was a challenge, but we knew it would be going in, and we addressed how the season would look. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, we ended up doing very well, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. It got me started.
As the door started, and then off to San Jose?
Well, goodness. From Minnesota to Kansas to Bethel College,
right,
to Iowa to Briarcliff, back to Minnesota to Carleton College, down to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Air Force,
University
then?
Of Tulsa. Then San Jose.
Then San Jose.
Then Air Force.
Then Air Force.
That's the coaching life.
Right. So, well, it's like being a DJ. You're judged by the size of your U-Haul.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, there's some truth to that now, especially when it comes to the ongoing search for administrators, and there's it's a rarefied, stratified area when it comes to higher education. It really is. It's an elite group. It's like being a female surgeon. There aren't as many. And as a result, I think, you know, that because Title IX is not an option. And you need somebody who knows how to work that system. And I would think, with the Air Force, and because I forgot which school you were when I realized how many women's sports that you had helped administer in Title IX for colleges. Was it the Falcons, Air Force, archery, volleyball? I kept thinking I saw
fencing.
One. Fencing. That was the one. There was this litany.
Rifle range.
Yeah. That's right. So
some
sharpshooter.
Unique sports.
Right. To be able to open those up. We don't have those here. In fact, we've seen sports go away here at SIU. Love to see some of them come back. Gymnastics, for instance.
Uh-huh.
But right now, I mean, because I hate reducing sports to bookkeeping. But I guess there's a point where that becomes necessary when it comes to we've only got so much money. We've got to be able to manage ourselves. How's that done?
Well, the bottom line is money. It is very expensive to run a Division I athletic program. And people may not realize it's not just the cost of a coach and an assistant coach. Uniforms cost money. The travel costs money. Meals associated with the travel. Scholarships. As you start adding it up, you need to be smart about how many sports can we really offer. And then if you want to be competitive and provide that quality athletic experience, you realize that you just can't offer everything.
It's so weird. I'm sitting at the basketball game with the chancellor, sitting in the chair right next to him. And there, it's a salute to the football team. And he says, you're not going to believe how much it takes to feed these guys, right? The whole team's out there when they're on the road. You forget, I think, that, you know, we're not stopping for the Happy Meal at McDonald's, right? And in the school bus in the back.
That's correct.
Especially, you know, how long it takes.
Talking about fueling an athlete's body.
Right? And how long it takes to drive a bus to Hawaii or Puerto Rico, right? I mean, it's not happening tomorrow. So what do you have to do now? All right. I kind of kidded you when you came in. You got to figure out where the bathrooms are.
Right.
Which is kind of a metaphor for just knowing your way around.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get your feet on. And then there's that expectation of performance that comes pretty quickly thereafter, doesn't it?
Well, sure. I mean, this is athletics. And winning is important. And it's fun. I've been kidding around. This week has been my orientation week. If I'm a freshman at SAU now, this is my orientation week. I'm getting my bearings, and next week really needs to be the week that I get out and about across the campus and start meeting the people that I've made a list of that I've got to make connections with and start knowing everyone.
Gwen Berry and Deanna Price have already done some work introducing themselves to the world for SIU track. I mean, there's some really good names and get national recognition. You know, the I think the record right now in the United States is Deanna. I mean, pretty good stuff right there. I'm having one problem, though.
What's that?
Assistant Athletic Director and Senior Women Administrator. Is that the right title?
Not exactly.
Okay, what is the right title?
Well,
what's it going to say in your business card?
It will say Executive Senior Associate Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer and Senior Woman Administrator.
Because the way I understood this, we're talking about when it comes to operations, you're going to be assisting with operations, men and women, so that you're covered.
Absolutely,
and I think that maybe had gone underappreciated at some point, or maybe even underreported.
Perhaps. I think there's a misconception out there with the role of the SWA and the NCAA. It is not the senior women's administrator. It is the correct term is senior woman administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And the role is meant to ensure that there is a woman at the highest levels helping input.
I just now got it because I'm thinking that's probably a typo. Women's. But it's not. When I look more closely, it's women. You're right.
It's women.
Senior woman administrator.
Correct.
And I think that's worthy of note today. Because, you know, when it comes to this, we just talked about this, alluded to it. There are a lot of moving parts. And then, you know, they're not parts. They're humans.
Correct.
And humans do stuff. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, because, well, they're learning to be good adults. And sometimes we make mistakes in the process to become good people. So you've got behavior, you've got meals, you've got scholarships, you've got recruiting, you've got transportation, you've got, oh, we didn't win. Are the schedules not printed yet? What do you mean there's a leak in the guest locker room? I mean, I can literally come up with some of the worst case scenarios you've ever heard in your life.
Well, each one of our coaches deals with those issues. So it's not just an administrator's issue.
It's a team sport.
That's right. And it's the administrator's role to help support the coaches as they work to provide the best possible environment for their student athletes.
It's interesting. I was conducting, and it's one of those things that just when I was conducting an interview with Marvin Hamlisch, and he was talking about what music did for kids. And he says, you know, this is one way that kids learn they can do something well. And I think sports does that for a lot of people. And once again, it doesn't matter whether you go on to, you know, from the baseball team or the softball team or the basketball team or the volleyball team or wherever in state athletics. It shapes you in a literal sense, physically and mentally, in a way that stays with you its entire life. You've already got a sense of what it takes to be, and this is weird because we don't think about administrators as being competitive, but they are.
Oh, I'm in this business because I was afflicted with the competitive bug at a very young age, and taking back to, you know, being the little kid in the 70s, I knew at an early age I wanted to compete, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed winning, and realized that one of the ways I could stay involved in athletics and even involved with football was being a girl, was to become an administrator.
So what do you hope to accomplish? What's your more immediate goals right now for SIU in relationship to SIU?
Well,
learn where the bathrooms are.
Got that.
Right.
Got that figured out. Yeah. Well, we want to be as successful as possible. We want to win in everything that we do. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, football and basketball, volleyball, softball, track and field, all of our sports, but also in the classroom, ethically, morally, doing what's right, winning in that way. We want to win with the community. Get out there, be visible, support the community, and give back because we appreciate the support they give the student athletes so much. And so we got to roll up our sleeves and figure out how to win in every way.
I find it interesting the role that sports on university level plays in enrollment. Mm-hmm. In polling information, 76% of college students say that the success of the athletics at the university impacts their decision about where they're going. And we're not talking about people who play sports. We're talking about specifically students who do not. And once again, 3 out of 4 students say that how well the basketball, football, volleyball team, swim team is doing helps them decide whether they're going to go to school there.
That's absolutely true. I've found that to be true in all the years I've been involved in athletics, I can recall a few years back when I was at San Jose, there was a little-known school, Butler University, who was playing at the NCAA Regional.
Wow.
My kids were little, tiny ball kids at the time, and they did great things in the tournament, and it resulted in a huge increase in applications at that university.
And you can see that borne out in Sweet 16 figures.
Absolutely.
At universities. And I don't know whether it's success or the exposure of the name. I think there's probably a little bit of both there, too, in seeing that. And then there's a recruitment component there. Right? And see, because here's the thing, right? Love sports. Love sports. Love research more. I love science. I love engineering. I mean, those are the things where my mind really, in my spare time, that I wanted to be an architect, right, when I was growing up. Now maybe I'd like to be an IT guy, right, or something. But I and it's so easy to say, well, why does sports get all this damn attention when really shouldn't we be doing research on cancer? And you realize that these two things actually work together in the university status. They work together. And I even I had to come through the funnel on that, and probably a little later than I would have liked. They do work together as far as making a great institution.
Absolutely. There's it goes to the whole development of the whole student. And when spiritually you're happy and enthusiastic and proud of the place that you're at, then you feel better, you're more motivated, and you're going to work harder and be more determined in your field of study.
What Mike Reese calls taking ownership. The sports broadcaster for SIU is my sports guy and friend for many years, and I always notice that. He says, you see them in the process of, I'm in a strange place, to the point where they say, this is my place, and where they take ownership. I'm a Saluki, you know, and the role you play.
Absolutely.
And we're really glad we had a chance to meet.
I appreciate it. I hope we can chat some more.
Well, I am too. There's a couple of people I hope you get a chance to meet when you're here in Southern Illinois. One of them would be the CEO and manager of the Miners, Mike Pinto.
Very good.
Because you're going to get a kick out of him, man.
Okay.
Right? This guy, they draw his blood to make 5-hour energy. That's where it actually comes from. In any event, there are a lot of great people here in Southern Illinois, coaches and things along that line. You know how it is, man. It's the Midwest. Michigan, Wisconsin?
I'm from Minnesota.
You know Minnesota. It's that same kind of thing there that we have it here.
Yeah.
Different teams, same heart.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I'm happy to be back to the Midwest.
Liz Jarnigan, she's assistant athletic director, new to the game, and senior woman administrator at SIU, and our guest this morning. It was a real privilege to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Jerry didn't warn you about coming in here before you came, did he?
He didn't need to.
Good.